Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, I'm glad to be here again to share God's word with everybody. And it's nice to have you, Mrs. Dougal, playing the piano again for us. That was wonderful. Thank you. Now, before we begin, I'd like to let everybody know that there is a Bible up here, Freedom, anybody who wants it. It's a King James Version. The words of Christ in red. Even if you might know somebody who wants a Bible, please take it. It's free. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son and his great sacrifice on the cross, bearing our sin and our judgment, that we may be saved and have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time that we may gather to his name and to read thy word. Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of thy word. We ask you to lead us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, today we're going to focus in on the gospel according to God's word. The gospel according to God's word. Using our reference verse here on the board, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And the next verse will say, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So this is our focus point today, is the gospel. Now what I'd like to do first is point out some verses that will relate to our portion today. So if you'd like to read along with me, the first scripture is going to be found in Zechariah. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11, we're going to read verse 12 and 13. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Our next reading will be found in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verse 11 and 12. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. One more reading was found in Psalm 22. It only seems appropriate if we're going to go to the cross, we point out some verses from Psalm 22. Now, I suppose it could be a whole study on Psalm 22 by itself, but we're just going to point out a few verses for the sake of time. Psalm 22. As we read about the suffering Savior being crucified, starts off with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Let's read verse 6 through 8. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people, showing the worthlessness of Christ and how he felt on the cross. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Verse 13 through 18, They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. We see the effects of gravity taking over when your hands and feet are nailed to a cross being crucified, and the strain on the heart here. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Intense thirst. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Then we get down to verse 22, where it transitions from the crucifixion of the Lord to the resurrection of the Lord. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. See, the main purpose that Christ came into this world was to die on the cross for our sins. With this in mind, let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verse 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ's main purpose in coming into this world was to die on the cross for our sins, to save us from our sins. Now, this was an appointment that he was going to keep. He made sure he was going to keep this appointment. He even told his followers that he was going to do so. He told his followers several different times that he was going to go to the cross and die. Even though it wasn't revealed that he was going to die for their sins, he made sure he was going to the cross and revealed the fact that he was going to go to the cross and die and be risen from the dead. The scripture that comes to mind before he goes to the cross is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. If you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read Matthew 20, verse 17 through 19. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now as we go to the cross, let's turn in the same gospel to chapter 27. Let's read the gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 27, we'll begin with verse 1. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for it to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, of whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." Now, the reason why we read it in Zechariah, but it says here Jeremy spoke it, I suppose there could be a lot of discussion about this, but maybe Jeremiah spoke it at one time, but it was recorded by Zechariah. Verse 11, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou sayest,'" like, you said it. "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, 'Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?' And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast the governor was wont or accustomed to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, 'Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus which is called Christ?' For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, 'Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." It's like Christ went through two unjust legal systems here, being condemned to death. The first one is the Jewish one where the majority voted unjust. Verse 21, "The governor answered and said unto them, 'Whether of the two will you that I release unto you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate saith unto them, 'What shall I do with Jesus which is called Christ?' They all say unto him, 'Let him be crucified.' And the governor said, 'Why, what evil have he done?' But they cried out the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' Pilate would have let him go because he found no fault in Christ. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.' Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." There's the second unjust legal system. The Roman authority condemned him to death. But Christ knew this was his appointed time to go to the cross and die for our sins. Never did he say a word trying to stop it. Verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on his head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, also known as Calvary, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and part of his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then when there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left, numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." This is the continuing to mock him. Wanted him to prove himself, but they were all blinded to God's plan. Verse 41, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Forsaken by God the Father. The only time this ever has happened or ever will happen when Christ was separated from God the Father was when he was bearing our sin on the cross. This points to the time when Christ was bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. 3 long dark hours he was suffering for our sin. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." God the Father laid the iniquities of us all on his Son. Christ was bearing our judgment and our sin. We can all say that Christ took my hell on the cross. He suffered my punishment on the cross. And God was satisfied with the righteous judgment of sin that he laid upon his Son on that cross. Verse 47. "Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man called for Elijah.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, 'Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.' Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, when we compare this to John's gospel, we know his cry was in John chapter 19, verse 30. "It is finished." He exhausted the wrath of God. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost and died for our sins. Verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent." We all remember the veil of the temple, the tabernacle, the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, where the high priest went in once a year with the blood of animals to sprinkle on the mercy seat for the sins of the people and for his own sins. But it only covered sins for a year. They had to continually do it every year to cover sins. But Christ had no sin of his own. Christ was the perfect man, the only perfect man that ever walked this earth. God the Son manifested in the flesh. That's why he became the perfect sacrifice for sins. Christ died on the cross for our sins, the perfect sacrifice. See, the veil is a type of Christ's human body. The veil separated from top to bottom, showing that it was an act of God. Now, Christ paid our penalty Now he made an atonement for sin once and for all. Now, no other priesthood or sacrifice except Christ is accepted to God. And now we have a new and living way into the very presence of God through Christ. Christ is the door to heaven. Matter of fact, Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And now the dispensation of the law has ended. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, his blood, the perfect blood that was shed, now this ended the law. The dispensation of the law was ended. Christ is the new and living way into the presence of God. For all believers who have faith in Christ and his finished work can enter into the presence of God through him. Verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were watching with him saw the earthquake and all the things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." This right here is remarkable to me every time I read it, because a lot of times these centurion soldiers had pagan backgrounds where they didn't believe in the true and living God. And this is quite a change. Now all of a sudden this centurion believed in the true and living God, where he believed that it was the true and living God, that Christ was. This is a good step forward. Now, and the people that were watching with him, we just read all the other crowds of people were all mocking him and wanted him to prove himself. And now they believe, too, that Christ was the Son of God. Verse 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So the women were watching, the faithful women were watching afar off. So we just read how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. Now let's read about his burial, verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Christ got a reverent burial here. He was taken down from the cross reverently and buried in a rich man's tomb. With the rich in his death, we read in Isaiah. Got a rich man's burial. And we know from John that there was expensive ointments that were applied to the body of Christ. Got a reverent burial. And there was Mary Magdalene in verse 61. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sinning over against the sepulchre. Now, the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They didn't want Christ to come out of this tomb. We got to remember, these religious leaders, they had positions in life that they liked. They were often well off. They were respected among men. John even tells us that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So they had positions in life that they liked. They didn't want to lose their positions. So if the truth of Christ was to come out, maybe they wouldn't be needed anymore, but they wouldn't have that same position anymore. And after all, we still see it today where people don't want the truth, won't come to the truth of Christ because they'd rather live in the pleasure of sin. They'd rather do their own thing. They'd rather have the lifestyle that they have. They know if the truth of Christ was true and they accepted, maybe they were wrong and maybe their life would change now. So it's kind of easy to believe. So anyway, we have the burial of Christ. We have the sealed tomb. They didn't want Christ to escape out of the tomb, but God had other plans. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, believing in the resurrection is just as important as believing that Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins. And our reference chapter up here on the board will tell us, in that same chapter, will tell us, if you don't believe the resurrection of Christ, then you're still in your sins. Your faith is vain, it says. So now, let's bring out the resurrection in chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Sometimes it takes an act of God to scare somebody into the truth. Now, it's not too hard to picture the Lord, the one who created these rocks. No matter how hard they sealed up this tomb, very easily for the Lord to remove those rocks from the tomb. The creator of all can make that rock disappear if he wanted to very easily. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He's telling the women, don't you be afraid. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and worshipped him by the feet, held him by the feet, and worshipped him. So now not only is Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, talking to them, they're worshiping him. So we have the resurrected Christ. Verse 10, Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled together, when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. See, they're still trying to cover up the truth to Christ. They'd rather bribe the soldiers and deny the truth to Christ so they can keep their positions in life. Even their people that came to tell them this, they still would rather bribe them and hide the truth. Verse 16, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, we see the lordship of Christ being emphasized through his words, telling his people to observe all things that I have commanded you. Showing the lordship of Christ, all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. And there are many blessings coming to all the people who have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not only will we be with him for all eternity, but he will be guiding us through every day of our lives, if we allow him to do so. Now, with the last verse is found in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, Christ is in heaven as the victorious King, willing to save people from their sins every day, willing to save people from their sins. And since Christ died for the sins of mankind, he makes intercession for the transgressors of the past, the present, and the future. And now, when we live for Christ, when we serve him, when we obey him, we worship him, it's like the victorious King taking the goods from the enemy. Now, maybe you haven't placed your trust in Christ yet. Maybe you don't even know if you're saved or not. Make today the day of salvation. So I'll ask you a few questions. If you're not saved yet, will you trust Christ's finished work on the cross for the payment of your sins? Question one. Question two. Will you trust Christ with your eternal salvation? Will you trust him with your soul, your eternal destiny? Okay, now will you trust Christ with your life on this earth, showing the lordship of Christ? Well, if you answered yes to these questions, then please make it known to the Lord right now. He hears your heart, he knows what you're thinking, he wants to save you. Christ wants to save you, he wants to be your Lord and Savior, he wants you in heaven with him when you die. So if you want to be saved, please bring it to the Lord right now. Now is a good time to do so. Let's close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for thy Son and his great sacrifice on the cross. We thank you that he is willing to save anybody from their sins today. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time that we were able to gather around the gospel and to think about Christ and what he has done for us and how we can live and serve him in the future. Thank you, Father. If there's anybody here that's not yet placed their trust in Christ, may you help them to do so today. Bring them to Christ to be saved. Father, we ask for your continued blessing upon this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.